Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, an important new book that exposes the undeniable campaign to secularize America by the Obama administration. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Dr. Mark Edmondson is a prize-winning scholar, author, and professor at the University of Virginia. He has a new book called Why Teach? He shares his perspectives on students, parents, fellow professors, and institutions. He calls on professors to be uncool, to grade hard, and to challenge students, even though they may face fallout for it from today's atmosphere of grade inflation and being nice to the students. He encourages parents to allow children to experience the hard knocks of everyday life. He emphasizes the necessary role of failure. Dr. Edmondson says, real reading is a higher form of conscientiousness. He claims good literature allows one to experience the joy of seeing the world through the eyes of people who are more sensitive, more articulate, shrewder, more alive than they themselves are. He says the magic of words unleashes the power of imagination. That is what students taught by the Common Core standards will miss because they have substituted so many informational texts instead of great literature. The author criticizes group projects and classes that rely on the exchange of student ideas. Students don't require the information that produces a worthwhile conversation. He also exhorts educators to stop these readings, which are really deconstructing literary works from the perspectives of gender, race, Marxism, Freudian, and other artificial constructs that venture from the author's intent and show no respect for the book on its own merit. The title of this book is Why Teach? In Defense of a Real Education by Dr. Mark Edmondson.
Would you like a complete record of Barack Obama's hostility toward Christianity? Every insult to our Creator God and every executive order that undermines religion is documented in the new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, by Phyllis Schlafly and George Neumeyer. Get your copy of No Higher Power where quality books are sold, or visit eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. EscapeHarassment.com.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Down. Steve, you might have to take over. I might lose power here.
Oh, it could happen, I guess.
You want to hear the rain again? Let's see if you can hear it this time.
That's it. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Can you hear it that time?
Was that thunder and lightning out there or just rain pouring?
There might be some thunder, some wind gust. I just saw the lights flicker a bit. We'll see. This is Bob reporting live from the weather here. North Central Florida.
Very nice.
And I want to tell you about the president of Palestine.
Abbas?
He says everybody should not recognize Israel as a Jewish state. No. Obama said everybody understands what the outlines of a peace deal would look like. Yeah. Right, Obama. Says it's very hard to come to such an agreement, Mr. Obama acknowledged, but we're going to have to take some tough political decisions and risk. Well, Mr. Abbas was in Washington 2 weeks after Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu, you might remember, and when he received that similar message from Mr. Obama for 8 months, the parties have been engaged in negotiations led by U.S. Secretary of State John Hines Kerry. Intended to reach a final status agreement on the creation of a Palestinian state alongside Israel, they have failed to come even close to this. However, and Mr. Obama is attempting to persuade them to agree to at least a framework structure for such an agreement and to continue their deliberations. Mr. Abbas acknowledged Monday he was prepared to take some risks, but that there are some things he cannot do, at least not yet. And one of them is to recognize Israel as a Jewish state, something Mr. Netanyahu has said is a condition for continuing talks. Through a translator, Mr. Abbas pointed out that the Palestinians recognized Israel's legitimacy in 1988 and in the 1993 Oslo Accords, quote, "We recognize the state of Israel. But to accept it now as a Jewish state would compromise the claims of millions of Palestinians, refugees whose families fled the fighting that followed Israel's creation in 1948 and were not allowed to return. Mr. Netanyahu has repeatedly called on the Palestinian president to abandon the fantasy of flooding Israel with refugees. Mr. Abbas has said he has no such intention. But those who left their homes must have their rights recognized. Knowing their leader's propensity to compromise, thousands of members of Mr. Abbas' Fatah movement paraded in Ramallah and Nablus early Monday to stiffen his spine and make it clear that they want no Jewish state recognition. The supporters would prefer he abandon the negotiations and press for sanctions against Israel at the United Nations and other internal bodies, international bodies rather. Deploring such a possibility, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry last week told a House of Representatives committee he thought it was a mistake for some people to be raising it, Jewish state recognition, that is, again and again as the critical decider of their attitude toward the possibility of a state and peace. Diana Butu, a former negotiation advisor to Mr. Abbas, said the Israelis insist on this formula, knowing Mr. Abbas can't accept it, and thus they avoid reaching an agreement. Instead of encouraging the sides to prolong these pointless negotiations, Obama should be cutting off assistance to Israel until it begins to act in accordance with U.S. policy, Ms. Butu says, referring to the U.S. policy against settlement construction. The only demand Mr. Abbas is said to have Monday made Monday was that Israel keep its promise to release 26 Palestinian prisoners before March 29th. This will give a very solid impression about the seriousness of these efforts to achieve peace, he said. Israel has released 78 prisoners in the first three of four promised batches. In Europe, EU foreign policy chief Catherine Ashton offered both sides a light at the end of the tunnel, saying Europe wanted to deepen economic ties with Israel and Palestine just as soon as they reach a final agreement to end their decades-long conflict. Quote, we want this to create huge opportunities in transport, energy, water, environment, business-to-business contacts, Mrs. Ashton said. We want to see progressive market interrogation, or integration, rather, interrogation, integration, trade and investment facilitation, she added, in the most explicit description yet of Europe's vow to help the parties come to terms. Very interesting. So to me, Steve, it seems like Israel is knowingly making that caveat, one in which has to be agreed on, realizing that Mr. Abbas, the president of Palestine, will never be able to concede to that point, and thus they are making this very hard on these individuals within the Palestinian government to come up with a compromise, to come up with a two-state solution. And well, that in my eyes is par for the course here with these Israeli scumbags.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. There's no question about it. I mean, the idea that it has to be a Jewish state is, in my thinking, probably not in line with what it should be. I mean, it is a racist state in terms of what, you know, how it's defined. And even though there are Palestinians and a few people, Arabs, and of course some others involved in the Knesset, the big problem they have, of course, is, you know, you have people who are displaced when the Palestinian was sectioned off and cordoned off and Israel was created, and they left, and some of them came back and some of them never did. But now you have a very large population of people who are claiming to be Palestinians who came from all over the Middle East. And there's an influx of about 10 million people that came in. So you have people from Europe who are Jews, Ashkenazi Jews primarily, I suppose, and then some Sephardics as well. And they displaced some of the original inhabitants there, and now you have a lot of people like even Yasser Arafat, who was from Egypt, you know, claimed to be born in Jerusalem, but he wasn't. A lot of the people were refugees from other areas, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Lebanon, you know, Egypt, all around there. And, of course, these people now want to claim to be Palestinians, and it's hard to differentiate between the people who were originally there who were displaced and the new group that are partially, you know, maybe partially indigenous because they've, you know, either made it or married into some of that. And it's very difficult to sort it all out. So what do you do with all these people? Well, the best thing you can do is try to get them all to work together, I think. And I don't think Israel's stance on trying to be accommodating to anybody outside of their own group is going to be very successful in the long term for anybody there. But I'm not sure it's going to work out any way you look at it. This is sort of my thinking about it all.
we shall see. It's been over 50 years now of no solution, and, well...
Yeah. Well, actually, anything. Going on almost 60 now, isn't it? Yeah. It's been over 60 years, actually.
60. Well, yeah, over 50 years. Yeah. So, all right, Steve, we'll take phone calls, 800-313-9443, and I'm just going to listen to the rain for the rest of the show.
Bobby's just going to listen to the rain.
Can you hear it?
The latest news is, yes, I can hear the rain. It's beautiful, man.
I love the rain.
Can you hear the snow and the wind out here?
Let me hear. Hold on, let me listen. Oh, I hear it.
Do you hear it?
I just heard a...
Yeah, that was it, man. That's me opening my door and the breeze blowing the window, you know, and the curtains out the window. And, you know, I heard cats out there freezing to death, you know, and it's really tranquil.
All right, 800-313-9443.
With new and ever-increasing health threats on the rise, there has never been a more crucial time to support your immune system. Supernatural Silver is a revolutionary new silver solution that is clinically shown to be several hundred times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver and is powerful enough to help protect you and your family from deadly viruses, bacterias, and fungus. Supernatural Silver is scientifically supported, highly effective, and perfect for everyday use inside the body as well as out. The Science Digest Journal says, "Silver is our mightiest germ fighter. It is virtually non-toxic and is emerging as a wonder of modern science." Supernatural Silver is the number one choice of thousands for improved health and immune system support. Find out how Supernatural Silver can change your life. Go to supernaturalsilver.com. Supernaturalsilver.com. And use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The United Voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Through their ministries of propaganda, each took complete control of the theater, the movies, the radio, every cultural activity and every channel of information.
Well, times is tough, all right.
Join us troll free, 800-313-9443. Join us troll free, 800-313-9443. Would love to hear from you on any of the aforementioned topics that we've brought up tonight or anything else that you'd like to discuss with us. Steve, let's see, what have we not got into yet? We've covered a lot of ground tonight thus far. Why don't we take a call? Let's talk to Mike in Kentucky. Hello, Mike. The heck is that noise?
Some cats, I think. Must be out there in the...
Oh, man.
It's raining cats and dogs, apparently.
Ah, yeah.
Is it raining there as well in Kentucky?
No. I'm just playing along with what you were doing before the break.
Just messing with Sasquatch, huh?
Okay.
Sasquatch, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I get the reference now. It hadn't been a while since I've seen a picture of Bob.
He does look like Sasquatch a little bit.
I was thinking he went Rastafarian on us or something.
Yeah, maybe. Chupacabra.
Yeah, maybe mine. he's letters that Eisenhower signed, he edited, I guess his press secretary wrote them up, and he, like, marked out some stuff or whatever. It's my understanding that not Eisenhower, Truman, would not recognize the state of Israel unless they were sure it was going to be a secular state. It was not meant to be Jewish only, and the Knesset has members in it that are Arab that aren't, I guess, necessarily Palestinian, but they're citizens of Israel, even though they're not Jewish, and I guess it's because they were grafted in because they owned property that was within the procurement boundary of 1948 or whatever. So, you know, they have non-Jewish members of the government. And
yeah, there are a few. They're a very small minority, but yeah, they are there.
Well, and I think there's some Christians too, but like you say, it's not a majority, but and of course there's a huge amount of a significant number of the quote Jews that are atheist Jews. They're not of the ilk, I guess, that are necessarily Zionist as far as believing that they're the chosen people of the Most High, and that, but I'm sure they go along with the not Benjamin Netanyahu, but Ariel Sharon, I guess, had a map up of anything and everything they could justify that was historically said to be occupied lands of the Jews from the Tigris to the Nile, I think, or from the Euphrates.
Yeah, that's the old Davidic kingdom that they want to restore, and it goes up all the way up to Tyre and Sidon in Lebanon, all the way out to the Euphrates River, to the Gate of Damascus, essentially, and all the way out to the Euphrates River, all the way down, past on to the east side of the Dead Sea and to the Nile, essentially to the Nile, through the Sinai. A very, very large space.
I've seen some pro-Israeli maps out there that talk about, you know, this or that mandate, this or that mandate, and it's mostly imposed by the West. The British mandate for Iraq, the borders for Palestine, which predates the State of Israel, are all labeled as a British mandate or, you know, French mandate or something like that. It's all, you know, all these borders that these Arab folks, the Bedouin, whatever, they didn't have any concept of borders and a state that could be a financial shell game of bond issues and things like that, monkeyed around with in a business district of London. We've went into their world and imposed a Western European financial mentality on them, which is probably, you know, a Rothschild banker's usury schemes, you know. And any of these countries that have bucked that and try to, you know, get outside of the International Monetary Fund or whatever, they are the ones that seem to end up as the axis of evil, you know, be it Muammar Gaddafi or the guy in Syria. Of course, Gaddafi wanted to start an Arab dinar. Gold-backed dinar.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So that's the common thread there, is that they want to get out from underneath this usury scheme. And the funny thing is, usury is pretty much against every one of these religions. Christianity is not for usury. Judaism is not for usury unless you're loaning to the goy, I guess, the subhuman chattel. They have to pay usury, but not to your brother. You can't loan it at interest to your brother, and after 7 years, there's supposed to be this jubilee thing. When are we going to have the jubilee?
The jubilee, the year of jubilee, when all debts should go free.
Right, when's that going to happen?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I did have a friend, and I've told this story before, and I could go into it, but he, a good friend of mine, he's passed away. He fought in the Israeli Independence War in 1947, 1948, and he lived in Israel in the first few years and left there and went to Brazil. It was too dangerous, for one thing. He had gotten married and had a little daughter, and he said there were all kinds of problems, of course. And, you know, and I, for a while, I thought that, you know, the restoration of Israel was really, you know, some sort of a wonderful thing, and that, you know, this was the beginning of the great millennial kingdom, you know. And of course, I still believe that there are things happening in connection with that. But, you know, I can still imitate him because I did a video production on his life. He was a Polish Jew who escaped Hitler. I think I've told the story. I won't go into it right now. But he would say to me, he says, Stephen, 90% of Jews in Israel are atheists at the best, at the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a believer in Messiah Yeshua, of course. He was
so he was a Messianic Jew.
Yeah, he was.
The Nazarene.
Right. Yeah, he was.
The Messiah. See that?
And they don't allow that in Israel right now, by the way. They've actually put a stop to that, you know. Jews cannot talk, or there's not any evangelization allowed in Israel at this point right now. From what I understand, maybe I'm wrong, correct me if they've changed that, but it's very, very sketchy about being able to talk to people about Jesus in Israel today, you know. But he was, this man escaped from Poland into Russia. He was apprehended there, worked on a work farm. He tried to get away again, was thrown in prison. His brother died there. His whole family was, he went back to his little town of Skoczów in Poland, which was just down the road from Auschwitz, and his family was all gone. There were strangers living in his house. So he had no place else to go at the end of the war. He was called, you know, into arms by the Russians and had to fight the Germans on the Eastern Front and came back. And then he ended up in Israel, you know, Passover 1947 and 48, and he was inducted into arms there to fight in the Israeli Independence War. But he left it very, very disappointed and discouraged with what he had seen. And he would tell you these stories. He would tell me about what had happened there. And he went to Brazil, of all places, and then came to the United States. And I knew him when he was lived in the Denver area.
The main useful story I have for the, you know, when people start talking about the Germans and the Jews and the work camps or the whatever camps, remember Sobibor, you know, because that's the most useful story I think that came out of World War II, is that if you start looking around, those that are corralled up in these concentration camps or FEMA camps or whatever are going to outnumber the guards. And you should watch that movie with Rutger Howard if you've never seen it. It's called Escape from Sobibor.
I'll have to check that out.
Yep.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Thanks.
We'll be back in just a moment with more. 800-313-9443.
The Bob Justin Show.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Seems the louder we're singing, the less they're hearing. Babylon got them so mindless they can't see Armageddon is nearing. I try to shake them, to wake them, but they say they'd rather be sleeping. So don't be surprised if my eyes can't disguise that inside me my spirit is weeping.
Welcome back to the Bob Tuscan Show. So glad you could join us. It's the bottom of our third hour. And, well, here we are. We'll take some more calls as we go along here. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Steve, my Free Your Mind lecture is just about ready to be released from the second Free Your Mind conference.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about that, and it's called the Birth of a Free Mind, and it surrounds the birth of my child and the different events that came along with it and my different thought processes that came from both my research before it and then, of course, the experience of my son being born, and then the subsequent experiences that I'm still going through, obviously, of his upbringing and so on. So I'm excited to get that out. To, you know, we had over 500 people at the conference, but well, that's just the tip of the iceberg here, because I want the masses to see this and to hear what I had to say. And I think it was a fairly important talk that I gave, to be humble here, but at the same time, pretty proud of what I relayed at this conference. So be on the lookout for that, Steve. The Birth of a Free Mind, Bob Tuscan at the Free Your Mind 2 conference.
Sounds good. That's coming up very soon, and I know you've been doing those things. This will be the third year you've gone, is that right?
Coming up, I'm also organizing, actually, the next conference, and that will be the third one we've done.
Yeah, you know.
So we're staying busy here, both in front of the curtain and behind the curtain.
Yeah, you know, for all you ladies and gentlemen listening, Bob actually invited me to attend the Free Your Mind convention this year, and he said, we might even have a little time for you, Steve.
We're tossing around some ideas.
Yeah, they were tossing around some ideas. I might get the 15-minute break between the big speakers, you know, so I might even be there. Now, I'm not putting it down. I'm just, you know, I feel welcome wherever I go, Bob, you know, so. It's going to be good, though. Hey, Mark Passio has been doing his shows here on RBN, and, of course, he's very good. I take notes on when he talks because he has a lot of very logically laid out ideas that you can follow through. And I agree with about 95% of what he has. You know, he's got some good stuff. So we've got a lot of good programs here on RBN. And Bob and I, you know, we're pleasured and honored. We really are, to be honest with you. Because of the people. You know, it's the people, Bob. You know, the folks we have out there that listen and make the show worth doing. I mean, if it weren't for the guys out there, and we don't always agree with everybody, of course, and we have some folks that come in with some their own ideas, and we try to give plenty of space to talk about what they think. But, you know, Bob, it's the people. It still is. You know, always will be. And this is a real thing to me. This is not like working for ABC News or some other mainstream news media outfit where you're just I won't go there. I've said enough bad things tonight. You know what I mean about those people who work in the mainstream news media who really don't care about the audience at all. They don't care what's really going on. They're just liars. And shame on them all, you know, for staying with that. But this is where I'd rather be. And I like our audience. I like the network. I like working with you. I love the people. Friends, you know, we've got to hang together or we'll hang separately, as Ben Franklin said many years ago, Bob.
That's right on, Steve. Right on. Let's see. Do we have more callers? 800-313-9443. Let's talk to, who is it, Frank?
Yeah, Frank.
Frank, hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Frank.
Pretty good. You know, interesting story about that fellow that survived the Holocaust. You know, I live in the Northeast, and there's a lot of old homes up here. I mean, there is a heck of a lot of old homes. And every single home I've been to always seemed to be a place that supposedly was an underground railroad station to help escape slaves. And I have friends that tell me, oh, you know, you go down in the basement, that's where they hid the slaves, right down there in his root cellar. And, you know, everybody seems to have a house that helped the slaves, you know, through this underground railroad. And if you just computate the amount of houses that I've been to, there'd be no slaves left in the South if they had all these supposedly underground railroad stations. It's kind of becoming like that with the Holocaust stories. I mean, I never heard so many people that either met somebody that survived the Holocaust or know somebody or had a friend of a friend that knew somebody. And I think that, you know, all these stories out there, it's kind of like getting to the point where, you know, what is believable anymore? I mean, when you think of Holocaust, you think nobody survives. And when you think of death camps, I don't think there's people that survive death camps. So, it's becoming like the underground slave story up here. You know, like if you have a house that was built around that time period, yep, they helped escape slaves. Well, if you lived through World War II and you were in Europe, yep, you lived through a Holocaust. I mean, I think it's being taken to the point where people aren't taking it seriously anymore.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all.
Well, the situation with Eliezer, my friend, was that he left on his own accord. When Hitler invaded Poland, he said, I foresee bad times coming. This is not a good place for us to be. So he was young enough to leave, and his family, his father at that time, I think, was about 80 years old. So he took his younger brother with him, and they ventured into Russia. But there were so many refugees, And you have to realize that a lot of the incarceration of Jews during that period of time was more political than it was ethnic cleansing, or it was more politically oriented because there were so many Jews in Poland and places like that who had animosity already against the Nazis, of course. So it's hard to say what really happened with his family. I mean, all he knows is that, you know, when he escaped into Poland, next thing you know, there were, he said, thousands of people crowding into Tashkent, and there was no place for anybody to go. So they were apprehended by the Russian authorities and put on a collective work farm. And the conditions were so horrible there, sleeping on the ground, very little to eat. They were about to starve to death. They tried to escape, he and his brother, through Afghanistan. They were caught on the border by the Russian border patrol, then thrown in prison in Russia. And his brother died there in a typhus epidemic, and he almost died as well. But right before the end of the war, they looked for people who would, you know, stand in line to be behind the people with the guns, you know, to fight the Germans. Like, he wasn't even armed. He was just going to wear a uniform and pick up the gun when the guy in front of him got shot down, you know, that kind of thing. So he ended up fighting the Germans on the Eastern Front. And when he got back, of course, his family was gone. So maybe they were arrested because of his disappearance, you know, instead of being ethnically cleansed. Frank, you know what I'm getting at? It's hard to say what happened.
But, Steve, let me address what Frank's saying. And for the record, I agree. I think that at the very least, these Holocaust testimonials are exploited, and many of them are manufactured. We have authors who have later come out to be turned out to be frauds. We have, Eli Wiesel, and, you know, even the Anne Frank story is fabricated. We have Hollywood exploiting these stories. We have a number of different aspects of this that I think should be looked at. And again, you know, I do know of some people who had family that were victims of not necessarily the Holocaust, as you pointed out, but of the atrocities of war. And, well, at the very least, that did exist. But the way in which this is exploited, and of course it's being used as a pretext for the justification of the criminal state of Israel, is absolutely deplorable. Fair enough, Frank?
You know, Bob, that was said excellently. I'm really proud of you. You know, I really am, because that was said excellently, because these people are being exploited that died in an event that happened that was a very sad time in the human race's history, World War II, a very sad time. And I don't think it does justice to the people that suffered. I'm talking about all people, either Jews or non-Jews, even the German people that suffered during the Dresden bombing and what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So it doesn't do them justice to putting out these stories about this and this and this. It gets to the point where it waters it down, and it's becoming unbelievable. It really is. Some of these stories is just unbelievable. Now, I'm not saying you know, Steve's story is not true. They've got to, I believe it. But I just think that it seems like it's being so exploited of these horrific stories and how these people supposedly survived. It's getting to the point where I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe that people that were marked for extermination somehow escaped. I think they were pretty efficient, you know. And that's just my personal opinion. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
All right, thank you, Frank. Final break, and then we'll come back with our last segment.
Hi, Sandra Anderson here. How can you help Republic Broadcasting to win $20,000 at no cost to you and enter a chance to win $50,000? Download my Keller Williams app sweepstakes. If you have an iPhone, Android, or iPad mobile device, you can enter. You may not know me and are asking, how is this going to benefit RBN? Well, if I win the competition, I'm going to donate the $20,000 to Republic Broadcasting Network. See, John and I started Republic Broadcasting in 2004. Yes, I'm the wife, and I am a realtor with Keller Williams Realty. Here's all you do. Go to RBN's homepage at republicbroadcasting.org and look under RBN Updates and follow the directions. Tell your friends, it only take a minute of your time, and I would appreciate the support greatly, and so will you if you win the $50,000. The sweepstakes ends March 31st, and I know we can win this with your participation.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
To their names can be added those of hundreds and thousands of others who stood in the way of the new order.
Right now, right now,
isn't what we're building for.
To bring in a few final phone calls at 800-313-9443. It's 800-313-9443. Unlocking a car with your brain. This is kind of interesting. Let's listen in on this. Professor Roger Bali unlocks his car from various distances using waves from his key, brain, and a big bottle of water.
Simple experiments for kids, if their dads will let them. Simple experiments for dads, and wonderful experiments when you've lost your car in a car park and can't find it. I want to talk about my key fob and central locking device on it. And you press this button and the lights flash. And the point is that this sends out electromagnetic waves. Now, the frequency of these waves depends on whether you get a car in North America or elsewhere. For one, it's about 320 megahertz. I can't remember the exact details. The other, it's about 400. And 300 megahertz means that The wavelength of these electromagnetic waves is about a meter. It's about so big. Now then, the whole point is that this has a range. If I walk away from the car, the signal coming out gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And there's a clever trick which I found on YouTube with Jeremy Clarkson in Top Gear explaining that if you have one of these key things, the central locking device, the range can be extended if you place the key against your head. I really wanted to know whether this is true, but I couldn't believe it. So what I want to do today is to explain how it works, but first I must show you that it works. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 20 paces. If I use this, you see, even with my arm extended, I can get the lights to turn on. I'll now go another 15 paces this way and show you lights won't go on unless I put this against my head. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 15. And now, if I press the key, nothing happens. But if I press the key, placing it next to my head, something happens. Now, the reason this works is because everybody's head is full of water. So I've got over there some water, which I'll go and collect, and we'll go another 20 paces that way and show you that the water will extend the range even further. So just don't go away from me.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is. The water has an effect on the signal, apparently. Hmm?
Mm-hmm. So imagine how that could be used in a variety of perhaps sinister ways.
Yes, there's many sinister ways to use water.
Anyways.
Hey, you said we were going to get back to the Malaysian jet.
Okay, let's recap. Right. I almost forgot. Let's recap your conspiracy theory, Steve.
Well, if we're going to go back to my conspiracy theory, what I posted a little bit earlier today, and actually yesterday, was that it looks to me that, well, obviously, I think everybody knows by now it was a hijacking. The plane was in the air for at least 5 hours after it disappeared from radar. The question is, how did it disappear from radar, and how did it remain in the air, and how were these signals from the engines being received by satellites, which are a little different than the transponder and emergency signals and some of the other beacons that the planes usually have. And, of course, the black boxes and other things like that that they're looking for right now. And if you looked at the news tonight, it's pretty crazy. I mean, they show this one arrow going way up into Afghanistan and another one going way down towards the South Pole. They say, well, it could be anywhere in here, you know, and they're both 1,000 miles apart from where the arrows start. So that's completely out of the question. But the issue is pretty obvious that it took off to the north, turned around, and looked to be southwest directly back over Malaysia, and then somehow at 4 or 5 hours later it disappeared. And the theory is, without fully endorsing the theory, I think it's the most logical one, or at least makes some sense, that Flight 370 was overtaken after leaving Malaysian airspace by AWACS and a covert military interceptors. They can jam radar. That's what they do. They couldn't stop the signals that were going up into outer space from the engines, but they could jam the radar. They can make these things look invisible. That's how they operate. They can either detect things with AWACS, or they can also obscure things with AWACS, and that's what they're there for. So the AWACS and covert military interceptors jammed the radar, except the satellite engine transmissions, and escorted the jet to a U.S. NATO base, possibly Diego Garcia. Now, this all fits in with Crimea, friends, because what we're talking about at this point is strategic readiness. And there were some people on board that jet that they wanted, and they wanted to get a hold of those people and find out what information they had. That's the theory anyway, okay? But they blame some Iranian hijackers, and of course, if you look at some of the links I've been reading and some of the pictures and photographs, you can realize that these guys have been photoshopped. They're not anything other than just a creation. They're a lot like the 19 hijackers on 9/11. And so the Iranian hijackers are photoshopped fabrications used as a distraction to beg the question as to why. Why would Iran want to hold Chinese military computer people prisoners? Okay, the real goal was to apprehend these Chinese military communication and computer experts to extract any recent intelligence information that might be used as the events in Crimea and with the rest of this whole debacle, this train wreck that Obama seems to be setting up. As all this begins to unfold, they probably want to get some of the latest information that was, you know, that they want to find out where the Chinese are at, of course. They want to do some investigation as to how much they have in their systems. It's a cyber warfare as much now as it is anything else, as you know. So, in other words, the only side to benefit from the abduction would be the NATO-U.S. alliance. And obviously, the people who have those kinds of technologies to abduct planes, to hide their radar signals long enough to where they can get them to where they're headed, probably Diego Garcia, which is a rather remote military location. So they're the only ones who have any reason to benefit on this, at least from the standpoint of a hijacking. And it would be apparent to me that that's probably the direction where the plane was last headed and where it probably is today. If it's on the ground, I would assume it is, just like we've talked about Flight 007. We've talked about other things where there were these plane abductions and or mysteries about what happened to some of these jetliners that disappeared and weren't blown up. Sometimes they were, but sometimes they disappeared completely, like Flight 007, which Congressman Larry McDonald was on, the man who was doing everything he could to expose the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission with congressional investigations. He got on that plane, and he was accompanied for a while by, as I understand, Steve Sims, who is the senator from Idaho, and Jesse Helms, who left and got off the plane, and he alone, along with several hundred other people, ended up disappearing. And some have said that he's been seen, that there were people who knew that they had shared a cell with him in a Russian island where the plane was actually landed. So the point was simply that this was an abduction where they wanted these people. And one of the comments that I got when I posted this was they said that this also fits into the whole situation. The Freescale company, owned indirectly by one of the Rothschilds in Texas, in fact, the Chinese engineers from Freescale are all military and with very valuable information for the USA. So some of the people that were on the plane, the military experts and computer intelligence people who were on the plane may have been very valuable to either hold and abduct or to use however they do in this phony East-West war. It's all about making people think, Bob, that there's a real war going on. I mean, you don't believe that. Look at 9/11 and look at the wars we got into. I mean, we know it was fabricated. 9/11 was an inside job. But they had to make us believe that there was a reason to fight these wars. So by abducting certain individuals, they can hold them as prisoners, even if their information proves to be not very utilized or anything like that. They can exchange them later on, or they could employ them, possibly, to be a part of the whole plan as this thing unfolds. So I think the plane disappearance does intersect with this entire World War scenario. Anyhow, that's it.
All right, we'll see if that checks out. We'll continue to collect puzzle pieces here on the Bob Tuscan Show. Thanks again, Steve, as always.
My pleasure.
Folks, love you. We'll be back tomorrow night. Don't go anywhere. Them crazy. We're gonna chase those crazy ballets out of town. Chase those crazy ballets. This has been another edition of the Bob Tuscan Show. Activism in action. Now go plant some seeds. With finance.